100 Word Stories.
Good morning, everyone. This is Lauren Simon of the 100 Word Stories podcast, One A Day Until the Day I Die.com. I've got all the fixins for either a cold or a flu. Thank goodness that this DayQuil says it deals with both. And down the road, I might just go to the clinic that says, hey, you know, give us money and we'll just kick you to the ER. So, we'll see how today goes. We got a lot of story. Ooh. Yeah, there's a little highlight of it. Got a lot of stories for you on the pick two. So, let's see. We've got Lizzie, Jeffrey, Richard, Tom, John, Serendipity, Muncie, Tura, Liana, Normal Joe, and Planet Z. So I will peak your levels no more and get you going. Here are the stories.
Hello everyone, Lizzie here, and this is my story for this week. The story is called Lightning or Not. To control the uncontrollable, Diane sighed. Annie shook her head. What is that supposed to mean? That thing's tumbling out. What thing? Annie turned around, and tentacles were sliding out of the show's chest. What is that? You don't want to know. Looks like an octopus. Suddenly, the wannabe octopus slammed the lid open and turned into a giant green lightning. Huh, nice effect. Is that for the show? That was the last thing Diane said. Octopus, at least now you're fed. I told you a million times it was not the time yet. We'll get them all, but not yet. And this was my really crazy story for this week. I hope you have a great weekend, and I'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Good morning, it's Jeffrey Fisher, here for week 566, and it's a pick two this week. As usual, I've just thrown a bunch of words in there, and we'll see what happens. My story this week is called Red Sea Scrolls. Lightning flashed nearby as Clyde and Wayne approached the cave, hidden in a nook on the Spanish coast near Valencia. They'd better be there, said Wayne, stumbling on the rocks. They will, replied Clyde. I tell you, I seen them. Hundreds of, what do you call them, fragments, just like them up in Israel. And these ain't paper. They're what that Moses guy had. You know, tablets. As long as we can beat them other guys looking, them italics from Italy, we'll be rich and famous. Wayne was still skeptical, but he looked into the cave. Sure enough, there were hundreds of fragments of iPads. Someone had used the cave to dump rather than recycle them. And yeah, I know, the Red Sea isn't anywhere near Spain. But hey, I couldn't resist the pun on the title. Anyway, that's it for me this week. I'll be back next week.
Good morning, this is Richard, and this week was a pick two, so I've picked two and written three, and my weird word combinations are tofu and fragment, italics and ochre, and lightning and Spain. My first story is called Tofu. Tofu. Foul stuff. No taste, nasty texture, and comes with that universal disclaimer used for the disgusting. It's good for you. I beg to disagree. It's not good for me. The tiniest fragment of the awful stuff, no matter how artfully disguised or masked by other more palatable ingredients, is guaranteed to send me running for the bathroom. Trust me, after one of my tofu-related incidents, you really don't want to be following me in there. If you are unfortunate enough to do so, there's one thing of which I'm sure. That tofu won't do you any good, either. Story number two, Comic Sans. I always sign my name in italics, using Comic Sans and in ochre ink. It irritates the hell out of my boss. He says it's unprofessional and doesn't reflect company values. I think my boss talks a load of crap. Since when did how you sign your name speak about professionalism or values? If that's the case, doctors would have to spend half their medical training learning to write legibly. So why do I do it? Partly for a little individualism and uniqueness. Partly because I can. But mostly because it annoys the hell out of my boss. And finally, Lightning. After being banned from his self-appointed role of bus conductor, Dad decided to try his hand at being a Lightning conductor. We tried to dissuade him, warning him about the perils of getting cold and wet, the risk of pneumonia, and the dangers of slipping in wet mud. But he was having none of it. He'd made his mind up to become a Lightning conductor, and a Lightning conductor he would be. Actually, he's doing rather well. Last I heard, he was touring in Spain, where the rain stays mainly in the plain, and the lightning is rather frightening. Well, that's me done for this week. Probably a good thing, really. So until next time, goodbye.
Hello, night people. Tom here, and I've got updates. 100 weeks ago, we hit our highest story average, 16.22. We are currently at 15.89. We've pretty much lost a third of an author. Movement. Liana passes Dionysius Close with 92 stories. Welcome back. My friend Don DeCles, a southern gentleman in his own right, passed Sojourn Harumph with 21 stories, a mere story from entering the top 50. Iron. Lizzie is close to double iron, Chris to triple iron, and Planet Z quad iron. Serendipity is poised to topple your humble scribe to become the fourth iron monkey. I also see Jeffrey, Richard, and Lizzie in my rearview mirror. It's only a matter of time before I'm relegated to the eighth monkey status. Top 10. Both Jeffrey and Richard are closing in on 3 years in the top 10. And your humble scribe, if the fates are willing, is closing in on 11 years. Oh yeah, I just broke the 80,000 word count. Only 920,000 to go. My story this evening is, truth is overrated. Sally entered the Oval Office with all the trepidation of a French royal on their way to the square in a cart. Well, not so bad, so far, she mused. He didn't look at her at first, then asked her if she wanted to share one of his tofu burgers. She declined. He laughed, like I'm going to eat tofu. Here's the deal. The irony of the statement wasn't lost on her. I've got the greatest hair of anyone who ever sat behind this desk. How would you describe the color? Spanish ochre. You really don't want this job. You're fired. And that's it for this week. Good night, America, wherever you are.
Rabid Response by John DeCles. Jethro stumbled across the dirty ochre carpet to the table where his pad sat ringing at him. The flashing italics on the screen affected his vision like close-up lightning on the plane in Spain, but he didn't let that stop him. There was still a fragment of tofu on the bottom of the screen from last night's inadequate supper, but he knew he had to answer the call. She'd demand it. Genevieve, he queried when he knew that he had her. Why are you communicating at 4 a.m? The heroine hasn't even come on yet. Genevieve? Genevieve?
This is Serendipity, and here's my story for this week. They say the night I was born, a lightning bolt pierced the skies at the moment of my birth. Fact or not? It is true, lightning struck an ancient yew in the local churchyard that night. A fragment of its charred remains hangs on a cord around my neck. Testament to the violence accompanying my first drawn breath. Like that tree, I am broken, withered and scarred. And I strike fear into those of a superstitious nature. Yet, despite our infirmities, we both survive, against all odds. And whilst I survive, my life remains as twisted as my body.
Woohoo once more! And thus, February ends the way that it began, with another 100-word story, because that's what this podcast does, and that's what you should expect from it. Who wants that story? To Make a Thing Your Own, by Christopher Monroe. There comes a time when you must customize your party bus. I mean, I've had the things for weeks. It needs to be done. Trick out the engine, replace the disco ball and stripper poles, restock the bar with higher-end liquor, that sort of thing. And, naturally, airbrush a delicate pattern of lightning bolts across the thing, with Munzee down one side in italics and Rocks down the other. Let the whole world know whose bus this is. Let the whole world know who likes to party. Let them know who has two thumbs and likes to party. This guy. Well, I think we can all agree that was pretty dumb. Talk to you next week, y'all.
Tora Rosino here, and for this pick too, I have a story about a fragment of ochre. Ochre is a soft, yellowish rock, consisting basically of rust. But in this limestone cave, there shouldn't be fragments just lying around. I shone my lamp further forward. More ochre, lumps sized to fit a hand. The cave walls were covered with orangey scratchings. The lettering was crude, and I lost track of time as I deciphered it. It described tunnels deeper within the cave, with fragmentary sketches of maps. I realized too late that my lamp was growing dim. The last sentence I read said, "You are about to be eaten by a gru." And the lamp went out.
Hey, hey, it's Leanna still hanging in here with the weekly challenge. For this week's challenge number 566, I have the following story titled, Soft Spots. I was a very clumsy kid who only got worse as an adult. How could I go backwards? I don't know, but head trauma was my life. That is until they came out with the stumble pad. Spring-loaded with a 360-degree swivel from the belt, a small cushion shoots up to protect my head from any angle when sensors read I'm taking a tumble. Still a few scrapes and bruises, but the noggin is good. The best part is it doubles as an emergency pillow, seat cushion, and flotation device. I'm thinking about getting a full body version.
Hello. This is Philip Norville Joe Carroll, and this is my submission for the weekly challenge number 566 with a prompt of pick 2. Here we go. The saying goes that you're more likely to get struck by lightning than you are to win the lottery. The other saying is that lightning doesn't strike in the same place twice. Arthur Bunkmaker doesn't believe either of those sayings, because he's never been hit by lightning and he's won the lottery 3 times. He found his lucky numbers on the inside wrapper from a box of tofu. He used the same numbers each time. He never won the Mega Millions, but he did win enough to buy a villa in southern Spain, and he never has to eat tofu again. Thanks for listening. And, well, see you next week.
Take a trip with me to Planet Z.
Fred liked to play games on his computer pad. He played them all day long. Even in school, he played games. But the games in school weren't the bird games or the maze games or the games he liked to play. These were math and word games. Adding numbers, dividing numbers, piecing together fragments into whole sentences. The geography games were kinda boring. Shapes of countries that no longer existed, like Italy, Spain, Texas. He looked out the window, down at the poisoned earth. "Play your games, Fred," admonished the holler teacher. Fred went back to the math and word games.
So let's go ahead and wrap this up before I cough up something important. We got a whole bunch of stories. I hope you enjoyed them. The Pictus are just kind of weird, you know? Some people like them, some don't. Some people like some topics, some don't. You know, if you don't like the topics, go off on your own into the woods and find one that you do like. "Hey, I really wanted to write about dumplings." Well, write about dumplings. Ow. So I'm going to go refill this orange juice glass. The next topic is suggestion. Somebody said, you know, suggest a topic. Well, suggestion. Okay, sure. So the rest of the instructions and all that, one a day until the day I die, .com. No, I don't think I'm going to die just yet. Unless I try driving on NyQuil, going to the clinic, and get killed by traffic. So thank you all for being a part of this, and keep being creative and expressive and ideas and fears and hopes and dreams, and boil them down into 100 words. So thank you, and as always, keep it brief.